Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios, it's time for St. Louis Business Radio. Now here's your host, Michael Greenberg.
Good afternoon and welcome to Talk with the Top. Today I've got Donnelly Gastrick on for Complete Solutions in Life Mastery, as well as Drew Weckbach from Spry Analytics. Donnelly, what brought you to Life Mastery?
Oh, that's a good question. Throughout most of my life, I was quizzical and confused at the same time as to why people would show up at a seminar or a workshop and listen to a speaker and come out of there with differing opinions. And I could never figure out. We heard the same information. How did you get what you got from that? And I found it really confusing and quizzical. And I thought, you know, if we're all going to learn something and learn the same thing, how is it people leave hearing different things? And that became something I stepped into wanting to know more about. And truly speaking, each one of us gives meaning to everything in our own life. And it's because of that ability, that freedom to think and believe what we choose, that separates us in so many different ways. So that became a big passion of mine, to explore that at a deeper level and to really help others with keeping their minds in the right direction so that they could truly step into their highest potential in life.
And Drew, I believe you've decided to step into your highest potential by leaving the corporate life and stepping into entrepreneurship. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I spent my first 5 or 6 years coming out of school in the traditional corporate life. Worked for a big brokerage firm here in St. Louis, and then meandered my way over to a large bank and trust here in St. Louis, and used that experience and thought there may be a different way to use my knowledge and experience working with retirees to help my generation and to help use that experience to create software, in this case with Spry Analytics, that we can take that knowledge and skill set and help retirees across the country learn how to use their retirement resources more efficiently, which was really, whereas at the big bank and trust, only available to high net worth clients. We're out for our mindset to help that with everybody.
Fantastic. You're helping design the software, correct?
Yeah. So I left big boring bank world to come design software, something I never, ever would have dreamed of I was going to be able to do when I was in college. I took my one computer science class, which is pretty much how to use Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel 101. And now I'm at the point where I'm working with a PhD from MIT designing algorithms and softwares. So that is quite the difference between Microsoft 101 6, 7, 8 years ago when I was in college.
Wow. And Donnelly, you made a fairly large transition yourself. You moved from marketing into life mastery, correct?
Correct. I did. And mostly because of the passion of, one, the helping and serving others and seeing the results firsthand. When you're able to really help someone shift from holding a mindset of the past and always calling upon the past and living in doubt or fear or anxiety, and you can actually help them put that to rest and step above that and control their thoughts and create a life that they love living, and then seeing the results as they start stepping into it, I feel as though I celebrate with them for every single success that they have. And it just feels like such gratitude, such joy. It gives meaning to what I do.
Wonderful. Your clients, they see results fairly quickly?
Well, as with anything in life, if you don't apply yourself, you won't get where you need to be. I tell my clients that listening to what I say and replaying the audio over and over is merely entertainment if you don't put it into action in your life. So you truly have to embrace it and put it into action in your life and step into it.
Fantastic. And action at its core is building a knowledge base and expertise in a subject.
It's first of all starting with an awareness. And we have to be aware. I tell my clients, pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Just be aware of, first of all, the thoughts that go through your mind. And are those thoughts positive, neutral, negative? Are those thoughts serving you? Are they taking you in the direction that you want to go? Or are they limiting you and holding you back? But from there, it becomes paying attention to a whole lot more, right? But once we can start shifting out of things that are keeping us stuck, I think most people have a low self-esteem internally, and it's working on that to really believe in themselves and step into that belief.
Very interesting. Drew, do you believe in yourself?
Oh, of course. In order to jump off the ledge and actually go into entrepreneurship world where there is no paycheck on the other side, you have to have a decent amount of self-confidence just to jump off that cliff. The scariest day, I think, in any entrepreneur's life is when they walk into their boss or manager's office and decide, you know what? We've had a good run, and I really appreciate that nice, consistent paycheck, but I'm going to go try and create my own wealth for myself on my own with my own knowledge base and my own skill set without really knowing if that's actually going to come to fruition. And you get to have that confidence and self-belief, and it has to be realistic to a point. You can't just dream it up and make it up. You really have to develop that skill set. You really have to have had that experience and exposure to figure out where your own small place in the marketplace is.
And how do you go about developing that skill set?
I did it a couple different ways. I did it the traditional route, went to college, everybody else, and then went and got my master's in taxation. So when I got into the financial planning world, there's 500,000 financial planners, insurance agents, tax preparers in the US. So we're not that special. So I tried to figure out a way that I could help develop my skill set. And for me, that was going into tax, and not only just tax, but going in specifically to tax planning and tax strategies for the individual and small business owner. So I'm not involved with tax preparation. I'm not involved with corporate tax. I'm not involved with international tax. It's very small. And then within that, I developed another side skill set of understanding how to apply tax into software and knew the financial planning landscape and brought them all together. So I developed and went to a lot of conferences and talked to a lot of professionals and was part of beta testers, which are people that use products before they're launched, and help sort of work and see how the user design and user experience comes together and then foreshadow that into the future and understand, well, how can I apply my tax knowledge and my tax skill and put that into software? And that's really how it all came together. So a little bit of self-discovery, a little bit of formal education, put it all together and go jump off that cliff.
Donnelly, how do you develop mastery over life? It starts with awareness and moves through action. But from there, how do you help your clients decide what they really want to move towards?
Well, I'm going to use Drew's conversation here because what I saw he did was, one, he validated the things he needed to validate. He wanted to get the education. He wanted to get the knowledge. He had employment in two different areas that supported this knowledge and gave him that basis. He, from there, created a vision of, I want more than going to work in corporate America for someone else. So he started letting his imagination create for him a vision, a picture that he paints in his own mind that he gets to create. We all have that ability. So it does start, and I encourage everyone to create a vision, because if we're a sailor on the ocean, there's no wind favorable if we don't know where we're going, right? If we can't just say, I'm going to take vacation without knowing the destination. So you have to have that vision. You have to have the idea. And it gets clearer and clearer as you go, because when Drew was explaining it, he started out with this vision, but then as he started getting more specific, more specific, more specific, he started honing in on exactly what it was. But he never in a million years thought he was going to be designing software, right?
Yeah. That definitely was not the plan.
But it unfolded for you perfectly from your vision. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what starts it. He already had the mindset. That's usually what comes second. And the mindset is the confidence, okay? It's the, I may not know how to do this now, but as I keep stepping into this, it's going to become clearer and clearer. But that confidence, you have to have confidence, and you have to not be afraid of fear. What I tell people is fear becomes your best friend, because fear is the edge of what we know and that little gap between where we are and where we want to be, right? And that's the fear. I tell my clients, fear is my best friend, right? But I look at fear, and F-E-A-R to me means feeling excited and ready. Because the first thing fear does when it hits our body is it creates a pause, a stop, take a breath. And from there, we start giving meaning to it. Oh, I'm afraid. Well, yes, because you said so. But is it really fear? What if it's excitement? If it's part of your dream, part of your vision, part of what you're creating, it should feel like excitement.
Sure.
So I use fear as it's a pause. It's that immediate take a breath, pause. You just now assign the meaning to it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I want. I'm stepping into this. And the minute you step into it, it dissolves. The fear falls away. It's gone. So he was fearless. And he may not have been at the moment. But as he tells the story today, it came through as fearlessness. Because he had the confidence to know that along the way, I'm certain he had stepping stones. Some people call those stumbling blocks. Some people call them failure. But they're really stepping stones. There's no straight path to where we want to go. It's always zigzagging back and forth. And our body's our guidance system to tell us if we're on the right path or not. So as he was traveling this journey, I'm sure he had a lot of stepping stones.
Yeah. Yeah, the progression is key. I think that's everything, is don't let fear stop you from progressing.
Correct.
You don't know that where that trajectory is going to take you. It may be very wide, and as you keep going down that path, that trajectory will narrow. So you have a little more focus on exactly where you want to go. But when I decided to leave my employment about 16 months ago was when I decided I was going to leave. I spent the next 5 minutes figuring out exactly how I was actually going to leave. And then once you go in and you say, oh, about a year ago, I decided that it was it. I didn't know exactly where I was going to go. In fact, when I quit my job, I didn't even have this partnership and this ownership right with the startup at the time. I just knew I was going to progress to that next step. 2 weeks later, I got a call. I showed them what I was working on. They showed me what they were working on. We put our ideas together, and we keep going down that path. And there's been setbacks, and then you rush forward, and then you pull back. And I think that's the progression of business, is not to be scared and don't let fear get in the way, but use fear to drive you forward, even if you don't know exactly where that's driving you. Like Donnelly said, that progression is key.
I think I can certainly agree with that sentiment. I know starting with Business Radio X St. Louis, we've had plenty of issues along the way, from equipment not getting to us in time to people dropping out at the last minute. And yet here we are today, recording, streaming live to our listeners everywhere, and moving forward a little bit every day. Now, Donnelly, life mastery. In business, I think we have an understanding of what that looks like. Success in business is measured in dollars and cents at the end of the day. Now, what does life mastery look like outside of that?
Great question. First of all, I want to say congrats to Radio X for coming to St. Louis and gifting us with this opportunity to speak out, to get to know other entrepreneurs in our city, and to have a means to tapping into radio in a way that supports us and drives us forward without the negativity, but with the growth, the learning, the connection, and the community that you're bringing forward. So I just really want to graciously thank you for that and for the opportunity to be speaking here today. But life mastery in our personal lives is huge, because it starts with what would you love in your body, your well-being, your physical health, your persona. So it gives us an opportunity to say, I don't like how short-tempered I am, or how quick I am to address road rage, or think people are not supporting me. So it gives us an opportunity to correct ourselves and to grow ourselves in ways that allow us to be our best potential. But it strengthens our relationships. Our relationship with ourselves is key, because a lot of times we're not even honest with ourselves as to what we think, what we feel, what we believe. A lot of times we've taken on beliefs from our parents, our caregivers, our grandparents. And when we really question those beliefs, we don't believe them to be true. But yet we act as though we do. We hold them in our subconscious as true for us. So when we really step into life mastery, we step into it in all areas of our life. It supports us in our relationships to have deeper, more connecting, more grounding, more supportive relationships with ourselves, with others. And it really allows us to shine in our highest potential in all areas of ourselves. It gives us patience. It gives us confidence. It gives us the ability to grow and to learn and to expand and live a freer and fuller, more expressive, expansive life.
Fantastic. Drew, do you feel like you've mastered not just business? It seems like you've got a strong handle on where you're going, but how do you balance and keep everything strong at home as well and with yourself?
Donnelly talks much more big picture and life mastery. I'm much more focused, I guess, on my project and on my life about what we're currently working on.
I think when I share life mastery, it's an ability to see and be aware of everything around us, including ourselves and how we show up in our life. And what most people want is to improve how they do that, to improve relationships and to improve for themselves, their weight, per se. And they really aren't aware of how to lose those extra 25 pounds. And when they become aware, when they start paying attention, they start seeing how much food they're ingesting. And then they start becoming aware of the quality of the food. And does it have nutritional value? And is it supporting me here with the nutrition that's going to sustain my body? So from there, it really, that life mastery, it helps us to create fitness in our life, to create proper rest, sleep patterns. And these might seem very simple to people who master this part of their life, right? So if you already eat right and you already get plenty of exercise and you get plenty of rest, then this doesn't even seem like a valid topic because it comes as second nature for you. 95% of our day is on autopilot, where our subconscious is pretty much driving us. When we get out of bed, we don't have to think, where am I going to go? We know we're heading straight for the bathroom, right? From there, we jump in the shower, we make coffee, we eat breakfast, we get dressed, we do a routine. We get in our car, we drive to our place of employment. 95% of our entire day is autopilot. So we don't have to think about it. But in order to really grow and expand our brain and our awareness, we have to start thinking new thoughts. And we have to create new synapses. And when our brain starts to think a new thought, it fires and wires with new neurons and creates new connections. And that's where the real growth and expansion comes from. But every time you do that, you're increasing your awareness. To me, that awareness feels like you step up a rung of a ladder. And when you look down, the landscaping looks a little different every time you climb higher, right? You get a bigger visual of the landscape below. So that's kind of how I see life mastery and personal lives, that it can take you wherever you want it to. You know, if you had a desire to be a speaker, stepping up on stage, talking in front of people could be awkwardly uncomfortable for the first couple times. But the more you do it, the more confidence you get, the more comfortable you get. That's mastering your life.
Thank you. Now, Drew, you've managed to transition and not only master tax law, I think we can say.
Oh, yeah. The exciting things in life. Yes.
But you've transitioned that skill set and moved it into developing software.
Yep.
What sort of issues have come up as you've transitioned that skill set into another area?
Yeah, so there's two direct things that are going on. When you're developing software and designing an algorithm to perform a specific function, whatever rules you put into the algorithm is exactly what the algorithm does. There's no human interaction that says, well, you know, that's what we meant it to say. That doesn't exist in coding in an algorithmic world. It's exactly how you design it. So everything has to be very specific. There's no human error. There's no interaction. There's no, that's what I meant to say. It's all very linear. So I'm trying to develop a very specific point in the tax code. And just, I guess, for our audience, a quick rendition of what we're doing is, we're taking the average retiree that works 40 years and saves a nest egg of money. Let's say they have $1 million and they have $600,000 in a 401k, maybe $200,000 in a Roth IRA, $200,000 in a checking account, and they have a small pension and Social Security, and they want to live off $60,000 the rest of their life. Where do they take it from? So which account? When Social Security? When do you take pension? So what we're trying to do is we're designing an algorithm that says over your 25-year retirement, where exactly should you pull the money from to pay the least amount in taxes? So what we're trying to do is write the tax code as it's applicable to retirees in one line item. so that no matter what you do, all the little levers that move back and forth, they're synchronized together so you get the best, most optimal outcome. So that's what we're working on. So I'm trying to make sure that our inputs when you're designing software are right for the end user, that it makes sense to them, that it's intuitive. And then not only that, but it works on a computer science level. Because I think very much like Donald Lee on a human level, what makes sense? What's realistic? What are humans actually going to do? How are humans actually going to operate the software? Which is different than the numbers and computer science that actually operates the back end. So it's the merging of the science, the mathematics, and the statistics with how a financial planner or tax preparer is actually going to use software. How do they interpret language? What comes up on the input side, and then how that translates to the output, and how they can use those visuals and how they can use those numbers to help their clients enjoy their best possible retirement. So it's a very unique blending of both visuals and technical behind the scenes knowledge.
Very interesting. And Donnelly, how do you help your clients merge those various expertises to help move towards their goal?
Well, I loved what Drew just shared because it is all about the input. I mean, if he doesn't have the algorithms right, it's not going to give the data that he wants. And I remember when computers first came out, it was garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Was that motto that we all kind of knew and held dear to our heart that, you know, it's up to us to put in the right stuff. And it's the same way today. So if I were to open up a browser and be looking for a place to go eat, and we were all deciding to eat Chinese, and I just put in Chinese restaurant, I got a boatload of output. I got a boatload of information here. I need to narrow it down. So the more specific you can get with your request, and it happens to us as well. I tell people that the quality of your life is in direct representation to the quality of the questions you ask. The same thing goes with the internet. If I want to get really clear, I want to say within a 3-mile radius of the zip code I'm in. Or a 5-mile. I want to give limits to what I'm looking for. Or maybe it's going to be, you know, a Japanese wok kind of restaurant where we can sit at a big table. And I need to get really specific on my request. So the same thing goes. It's garbage in, garbage out as the motto, whether it's business, whether it's a personal life.
Yeah, I think that's true. You have to design your own constraints. If you don't design constraints, then you'll get who knows what information back, and you're looking for a very specific answer. So the more that you can design that, whether it's in your life or in software, that's very, very powerful to an individual to really hone in on that exact answer. And I think that goes back to the autopilot that most people, when they're inputting data into a computer or operating their life, just are moseying on down the road, going through life, not really thinking about it. So as somebody from the big picture looking in, well, how do I direct somebody without actually telling them? How do I walk them down that path and walk them down the correct path? And they don't even realize it. I'm just helping them to get to where they're going more efficiently without being really invasive. And I think that has usefulness in almost any walk of life. And I think that many people should think, where am I going? What am I doing? What's the purpose? And I think that could be a life lesson for many people.
Mindfulness.
Yes.
I meditate every morning. I recommend it to everyone I know as the one thing you can do tomorrow in 5 minutes that'll start changing your life.
I just started here at CIC, at CET, every Thursday at noon meditation. And I just started it yesterday, actually. So, every Thursday at noon, we have a guided meditation, and then we'll have a completely silent one that follows it.
Fantastic. Drew, do you meditate?
I wouldn't say I directly meditate. I think everyone has their own outlet. And for me, that outlet may be going for a run or a bike ride or something to clear your mind. If it's meditation for someone, I think the idea of it is just pulling away from life, pulling away from your job, pulling away from your responsibilities, whatever that is, and taking 20 minutes to actually think unobstructed. I think that's valuable for anyone. So however you can incorporate that into your life, I definitely see the value of that, Mike.
Excellent. And I take it you're a runner yourself?
Yeah, I do from time to time try to get out of it doubles as stress relief, I suppose.
Yeah, but that really is important, especially with entrepreneurship. And both of you are entrepreneurs. Donnelly, how do you deal with your stress of business?
I start my day with meditation, and then from there I go into fitness. My meditation is just to get clear, get grounded, basically. My meditation is my filling me up with everything I need for the day. And my fitness is getting my body moving and my blood circulating. And whether that's a brisk walk for 40 minutes or whether that's an hour of Qigong, it's just some way to get my body moving and get the energy flowing in my body. I think there is clarity of mind there. And Ju made a huge point. Whether we meditate or whether we ride a bike or whether we run, we are stopping the chaotic freight train of thoughts that are racing through our head. And that is mindfulness. And that is what meditation does, is it stops that thought and allows us a break of peace in our mind. I have kids that mountain bike. They can't think another thought when they're mountain biking, right? Because they're like turned on for survival, you know? One wrong move, if they take their eye off that trail, they could flip that bike. And they're traveling pretty fast. So whether you're running, you have to be aware, you have to be conscious, but you aren't thinking about a million other things. You're running. And you're getting the blood moving and flowing in your body. I think fitness has to be a part of people in general's lives as well. But how much and what they do is their choice. And same with meditation. It can be just a few minutes, a couple times a day, or it can be a long, lengthy meditation.
Fitness is that base that gets your day started, right?
It is. It starts my day. And when I miss it, like sometimes I'll have an early networking meeting and I'll miss both. You know, if I'm going to be somewhere at 7 a.m., I'm not going to wake up even earlier to do this. I'll miss it. And I truly do miss it. I mean, I can't wait at lunch to at least squeeze in the meditation part.
And networking is all about developing relationships.
It is.
And relationships, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, are very important to both of your businesses.
Yes, indeed.
How do you go about developing those relationships?
Doing it a couple different ways. I think all of us are now working out of co-work spaces. I'm downtown at T-Rex, which is the St. Louis downtown incubator and startup facility, and you guys are here in the Midtown one at CEC. And I think that starts the process of being around other people that have similar mindsets to you. Those of us in the entrepreneurial community think about life probably a little differently than the people that go to work 9 to 5 every day and enjoy that clock in, clock out mentality. There's definitely people that are meant for that. And then there's people that never quite turn it off. So figure out where you fit in that equation and then figure out what people share that mindset with you. So that's where I start. And just by being in that location and in that physical presence, you magically bump into the people that share your thoughts that you can collaborate with. And going to events that people there share that idea. So I tend to go to a lot of networking events that are built around the St. Louis startup community. I really enjoy it. It's fun. I don't think of it as work. It's not drudgery. I have to go shake hands and kiss babies. You've talked to people who have been doing that for 20 years and they have that feeling. And I don't want that feeling to take place in my networking event because that'll show no one was going to want to hang out with somebody that's there for the sake of being there. So go find those networking events that speak to you. That's what I would suggest for everybody.
And where do you like to go?
T-Rex holds a lot of nice events. 4240 across the street from where we're located right now on Duncan Street. They have the Venture Cafe every Thursday. There's also a couple events at the universities you can attend. There's the Million Cups. I know WashU has stuff at the Scandalaris Center. And all the other universities have different networking events. I also specifically go to industry events for myself. So if you want to come hang out in tax nerd heaven, you can join the MSCPA Society. There's the FPA, the Financial Planning Associations. There's the Financial Services Professionals out in the pair. So there's different areas. Those are the areas I play in on a specific level and then more on a holistic level.
And Donna?
I frequent some of the places you do. Venture Cafe is one. And CIC, obviously, at CET. But I belong to my local chamber of commerce. I live in St. Charles, so I'm St. Charles, Greater St. Charles Area Chamber of Commerce is my alma mater here. And then everything from yellow tie to you name it, meetup groups, to focus interest groups, but industry specific as well. Another part of my business is marketing, so I have ins and connections through there as well. I truly love networking, though. I look at it as an opportunity to serve others. I don't look at it as I'm going there to get something. And I truly don't want to make it about me. I want to learn about them. And obviously, it's always reciprocative. You know, when you ask what they do, then they ask what you do. But it really, for me, isn't about me. It's about serving my community and showing up in ways that build community and build connection and build a reputation. And so I love networking. I think I probably attend a networking event every week, at least one.
Well, and has any networking event stood out to you as the one that produces the most best relationships?
I don't personally belong to a BNI, but I've been a guest at many BNIs. And I will say that everyone who is a member of a BNI finds great rewards and great success there because they support their members with their leads and connection and follow through of passing business to one another in their immediate group. So I think the theme and the thought around a BNI is really beneficial and very supportive. It has a lot of pretty strict rules that you have to be at every weekly event. I travel a lot. I'm a solo entrepreneur. It's not like I have staff to go fill my space if I can't make it. So the commitment there is a little out of my reach. But I do think that a BNI probably would stand out as the most supportive. And I think our local chambers are very supportive because they're really all about serving one another in ways that build that community and connection.
Excellent. And community is a very important part of all businesses. Now, Drew, have you seen the tax community rally around your business?
Oh, yes, the tax community. Those are some people that really stand up and cheer. But if you do actually go out into the national scene, there are a lot of very big issues around tax. Actually, tax is one of the most argued about issues in our economy as a whole, because the government as a whole, over the last 50 or 60 years, has started using tax as a way to directionalize human behavior and directionalize the masses. So when you actually step out of your community in the tax preparation world, tax becomes a very hot issue, and people do get very passionate about it because the rules that are enacted move millions of people in their decisions. As a small business owner, there's all sorts of tax breaks and tax loopholes in the code to operate your business the way that we think would be best as a whole. So they offer things to small business owners like breaks in your healthcare coverage because they want you to get healthcare coverage. So they use the tax code to help drive what they think is the best common good. So there is a place out there where the tax community does really rally around you. I don't know if it's necessarily at the tax software events that I go to. All 12 of us are all very excited about what we're doing. But people do get excited generally in the fintech space. It's a very growing area, and we fall within the general fintech area. Fintech is financial technologies. So there are large conferences, T3, which is held once a year, finished up about a month ago. And they draw multiple hundreds, close to 1,000 people. And these are all people that are directly related to financial technologies, that are users, beta testers, creators, supporters, investors. So there is a community out there, and you can find us tweeting at each other normally. If you want to go into the Twittersphere, they're very mobile, very active, very loud, very snarky as well, actually. Once you play in your own little space, no one really knows what you're talking about unless you already understand that vocabulary and language. So it tends to be a fun community once you ingratiate yourself into it.
Fantastic. I now know not to get on the bad side of the tax Twittersphere. Donnelly, do you use social media with your business?
You know, I'm weak in that area. I post on Facebook and I try to be a support and a positive influence in my posts. But I'm not a big tweeter. I'm really not a big tweeter. I've never really been able to embrace it. Missing out on that, I'm sure.
It's okay. It's becoming noisy these days. I try to use it more as a source of information than to actually be a member of it. I've probably looked at Twitter hundreds of hours and sent about 300 messages in my lifetime, but it's very useful if you go look at mine that I'll have very direct people on my Twittersphere. I try to avoid the people that are hyper-tweeters that tweet 43 times a day, or people that you can tell that set up pre-dated messages. If you're one of those people, please stop. We all hate it. All of us hate your pre-subscribe tweets that you send up 2 weeks in advance and then send them daily. We know they're out there. We can tell, and you get unfollowed. So if you're trying to reach a direct audience, maybe stop. If you're trying to reach the masses, I understand that gameplay if you're reaching the masses. But if you're going niche, we know those are coming.
I know I'm guilty of having set up my own tweet schedule and then watching my followers plummet as a result. So warning to all of you out there, Drew is correct.
Mm. And I love what you've been sharing, Drew, because just the fintech, you know, the terminology behind things and what you are offering, I'm so excited for, because I'm one of those that's going to be at that retirement age to having to make decisions as to where to pull from. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that you're going to create algorithms that are going to be based on my specifics. Mm-hmm. They're not just a base of algorithms that work for everyone. They're going to be specific to me. I'll get to put in my data,
correct,
my lifestyle, how I want to live.
Yeah, that's the right now all there is really available out there is rules of thumb, mm-hmm, for the individual investor or retiree.
Yeah.
There's just general rules. It's not specific to you. And there's all these with anything. Well, this is great for most people, but there are these exceptions, and then you can rattle off 20 exceptions. Well, what we're trying to do is get rid of all those exceptions and make it specific and unique to your circumstance. Because if you're a retiree with a pension, that's going to be completely different than a retiree that has a large 401k because that's all they had. Versus if you were, let's say, a teacher and you weren't even a part of Social Security, so you're in a part of a tax code that you save into a pension and then you don't actually get access to Social Security, it creates different unique environments that are very specific. And it's available out there to get this sort of treatment and services done, but it comes with a pretty hefty price tag. Normally it's getting to be close to about a $2 million net worth to receive this sort of direct services for somebody like me to think, well, it's really worth my time to spend 18 hours to figure out this problem. Really what we're trying to do is say, well, we can get you 95% of the way there in about 3 minutes. It's not going to be perfect, but it gets really, really close. And you can do that with 4 or 5 minutes and using the back office and using an engine to help drive you there so you can make your own decisions. So I'm really excited about it. There's not really anything directly out there that does it. There's people that are using rules of thumbs, and there's people that are creating applications that are semi-relevant, but in all the professional software that costs thousands upon thousands of dollars to subscribe to and use, there's really not something that's that small and narrowed in. So hopefully we'll get you that use someday.
I love it. And I love the fact that as my needs change, I mean, as we're going to be stepping into retirement, our mobility might change, our lifestyle might change. And it sounds like at that point, I can put in new parameters.
Yeah.
Set up a new output, right?
Yeah.
Based on my new input.
Sure. Some people don't realize, but depending on what state you live in, there's different taxes.
Yes.
If you move to Texas, there are no income taxes. If you stay in Illinois, for instance, where we're right next to the river, if you jump across the river, you don't pay state taxes on retirement distributions, but you do in Missouri. So if you have a $100,000 a year pension, just to make math easy, you pay 6% taxes in Missouri, so $6,000. If you move across the river to Illinois, you pay zero. So I don't know how Illinois' broke state is going to continue to have that tax rule in place. But as of right now, there's a big deal, and there's a big difference between where you end up retiring, and those parameters can change. And we would like to be a tool to help everybody get through this murky mess. And I think you bring up a good point of every question that you bring up, I have 7 different answers for you.
I love that.
Which is the problem with the tax code?
I can honestly say that you've really piqued my curiosity in so many different areas, because you probably, people are going to want your, is it going to be an app? Is it going to be software? I mean, how are you going to subscribe to it?
So right now we are actually launching the beta for financial professionals to tell us what we did right and what we did wrong here in the next week.
Awesome.
We just had our conference call 2 hours ago and talked about We're not doing any new features. We're just making everything accurate at this point and working out the bugs. So we're going to hopefully have this out quickly. But the idea is eventually to make it available to financial professionals so that they can understand the inner workings to make sure that people are using the outputs correctly. So we want it to be available to all the independent planners, all the large planners with the big corporate ties. We want it to be available to everybody. Because right now, this stuff's only available to the super high-end clientele that work at very boutique shops that you never heard of. So we want to bring that to the masses. We're excited for that. So the beta's launching here within the next couple weeks.
Amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's been a lot of effort, and just not me. The guys behind the scene are doing a lot more of the legwork than I am. I focus on the directional and the strategy of the product. Those guys are actually building that product, so give them plenty of kudos as well.
Absolutely. I love the fact that you can use it from the very start before you ever even retire, to get a mindset before you step into that retirement.
Yeah, the flexibility is key.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about, as a business owner, what are you going to do in retirement? Trying to create that flexibility is key, because that creates more levers. The more levers I have at my disposal, the more I can do, the more that if the tax code changes, which I'm sure it will in the next 20 years, if you have the flexibility, you can use it to your advantage.
Right.
Use those levers to your advantage. If you only have one asset, if you just have one large 401k and you retire and that's all the money you can pull from, well, I can't do a lot for you. You're sort of stuck. You need money to live off of. But if you have multiple different things going on, you have a business, you have a rental property, you have a taxable account, you have a small pension, if you have all these different levers, there's different things that we can do. And I think as an entrepreneur, your ultimate freedom is your ability to work on yourself and create different cash flows and income streams and not be dependent upon one employer and one bucket of money. So I think that's key for life, for investing, for tax planning, is having flexibility to do what's going to be best for you in the future and bet on yourself to an extent. You don't know exactly what's coming down the pipeline, but bet on you'll be able to figure it out.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out now that both of you have multiple income streams and multiple plans.
Absolutely.
With marketing and life mastery and then tax software and being a certified financial planner.
Yeah, I do a whole bunch of stuff. My basic training is as a financial professional. I'm a certified financial planner. So I have my own financial planning practice, which is built around, as you say, people that I call asset accumulators. So people that are somewhere in midlife that are accumulating wealth. Most of the financial planning industry is built around people that have already accumulated wealth, which is where I came from. So I thought it'd be fun to work with my generation on creating that flexibility, creating those multiple income streams, and figuring out how to play that tax game correctly. So that's my other life besides working as a DOD, a Department of Defense contractor, providing military planning. So I do multiple different things, but it all revolves around my one narrow niche and skill set that I focused. And I'm sure, Donnelly, you probably have a similar story.
Absolutely. I stuck my toe into the rental arena about 10, 15 years ago. So I have a few pieces of rental property. I have two different arms of my business, the marketing aspect of it that started way back, and then the mastery part that I'm most passionate about. But I do also believe that as we step through life, we do add and collect different streams of resources, of investments, of savings, of growth, and of potential in our lives. So you're right. It's a Roth. It's a 401k. It's a pension. It's a, you know, savings account. It's a property that we own that is going to be paid off in a year and then be netting us complete income.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we have to look at all different sources, but Social Security, we don't know if it'll be here. I remember that being told to me early on in life, is that you better not be counting on Social Security.
No.
And I thought, you know, I think I will start just making my own plans.
Yeah, and that creates your flexibility, is what you say. You travel a lot. And you don't know where life's going to take you, and you haven't made plans to figure that out yet.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of what financial independence creates, is I'll figure it out. I have multiple things going on, and they're all going in the right direction, and it's going to give me the freedom to choose where I want to retire, or if I want to semi-retire,
right,
if I just want to work on the projects I think are fun. You're not stuck working on projects that make you money. you're working on projects that make you a little bit, but are enjoyable, and you can continue doing well past what most people consider their normal working years. And I think that's really the exciting thing about being an entrepreneur.
I will second that wholeheartedly. And what I love most about you, Drew, is the passion that you have for what you're doing and the confidence of how it really is going to serve the masses.
Yeah.
And I embrace everything you've said, and I'm excited to just really see and feel and touch and see how my data comes out for me.
Yeah.
So it really is all about having the confidence, having a vision, creating a life that you truly do love. And then you're right. When you start stepping into retirement, it isn't about looking to grow old in a rocking chair. It's about enjoying life. It's about living life and enjoying it, feeling alive and doing things you love.
I think people previously in our lives, they worked at a job they didn't really enjoy for 40 years, but it paid a paycheck and they got a pension. And then when they turned 57 and got that pension, then they started living their life the way they wanted to. I think that's different for our generation now, where you can do both at the same time. Many people have a lot of different passions, and you obviously have a strong passion for life coaching, and you're actually able to do that now, right now, in the midst of your career, during your peak earning years, and really getting after it. And maybe 30 years ago, that wouldn't have taken place until you retired and became a mentor. Now you're able to be a mentor slash coach during your lifetime and make money while you're doing it and having wonderful clients that think you are changing their life for the better. And I think that's really cool about what entrepreneurship in the new decade or the new millennium has really provided all of us, is that outlet and that exposure and that ability to go do what you care about most right now, regardless of all the other issues and complexities in life.
You hit the nail on the head. The big question I ask people is, what would you love, right? What would you love? And it's funny because a lot of people don't even know what they would love. They don't have, they've never allowed themselves to even ask that question.
Well, we're just about out of time today. And I like to end on a single question, one time for each of you, obviously. Now, Drew, what book would you recommend to all of our readers out there?
Oh, man. What book would I go with? Donnelly, you got a good book off the top of your head? I'm going to kick it your way for a second.
I love books. I'm more about authors, and they're really old authors. But As a Man Thinketh is a really good old book. And it's a favorite of a lot of people. I consider it a good read every year, just to remind yourself.
Yeah, I guess I will go with, I'll be more generic and be industry focused, but The Millionaire Next Door is a really good both financial book and life book. It really tries to tell the story of, you can use what's given to you. You don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to go out and create the new next startup to be a millionaire. That you can just operate your life the way you want to, regardless of income, and do the right thing. And as long as you don't pick up a ton of credit card debt and make smart decisions in life and don't live above your means, you can have a very fulfilling life just making a modest, normal income and really embracing that lifestyle and focusing on your passion. So I think that's a good way that will hit both of our passionate strands of life.
Fantastic. And I can strongly recommend both books. In fact, you could finish them both in a weekend, As a Man Thinketh, maybe in about an hour. But The Millionaire Next Door will definitely take you a day.